Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. This is the King James Version. We'll also read Romans chapter 12. And seeing the multitude, Jesus went up into a mountain. Somebody say up. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Somebody say they went up. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, one of my favorite passages of all time. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. I want to preach and start this series called Counterculture. And the subtitle is something I've never preached on before, other than just maybe using them as a text here and there. But the Beatitudes, or as the young man in Sunday school once said, the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, counterculture. Turn to your neighbor and tell him change is a coming, and I am a part of it. You may be seated. If you've ever heard me preach, teach, even lead a service, ever had a conversation with me more than 5 minutes, there is a prevalent thing that runs throughout my life, my verbiage, my vernacular, everything that I talk about. It all comes back to two or three words that I love to use. And one of those words is in the title, but I like to talk about atmosphere. I almost talk about it every time that we're transitioning from worship into the rest of the service. I love talking about atmosphere. I love talking about environment. And we're talking about counterculture. I love talking about culture. Because to me, those words encompass what we at Living Way are striving to create. We are striving and have strived the last 45 years and will the next 45 years strive to create an atmosphere, an environment, a culture of the miraculous. Where when people walk in the back door, whether they were born Catholic, whether they were raised in a Pentecostal church, a Baptist church, or maybe they've never stepped foot in a church before, which is becoming more normalized now, meeting more and more people that I meet here in the aisle, or back when we had a full run of the visitor table, we're shaking hands, that this is the first time I've ever been in a church preacher, and they're 21, 22, 25 years old. And so our whole goal is to create an atmosphere, not just in the building, but in the parking lot. Not just in, but when you drive by, something hits you. Something gets you. Come on, you know what it's like to drive by and Raising Cane's is open. And your car just gets a mind of its own. You know what it's like when Krispy Kreme has that fresh donut sign on. And your car just, it's possessed. It just, on its own, just kicks right in through there. That's what we, and I believe that we are, but I believe that we can be even more of that. But more than this, and I've never said this before, and I've never heard it said in the 45-year history of Living Way, is I believe that we should be extensions of the church, not of Living Way. The Bible says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Meaning this, that when I leave this building, I am Living Way for somebody. You are Living Way for somebody. You're the only Holy Ghost they're going to have access to this week. You're the only word they're going to read this week. And so it's about creating culture. It's about cultivating atmosphere, preparing environments for people to receive from God. So for the next four Sundays, I want to focus in on that word and the synonymous words of culture. And I believe that as we talk about culture, that we will find out very, very fast that God has given us the ability to create culture. How many of you understand that you create the world you want to live in? Check this out. John 10 and 10. We'll get to here in just a little bit, probably a little further. John 10 and 10, Jesus says this, I've come to give you life, and I've come to give you abundant life. That first life we know as eternal life. How many of you are saved? You're going to heaven and you're glad about it. Raise your hand. How many of you are living in the abundant life? Come on, raise your hand. How many of you are wanting to get to the abundant life? Raise your hand. We're all on the same page then. And so that's what Jesus said. I've come to give you life. He said, I came to give you life and life in abundance. Now listen, if that's the reason he came and he's already left, what does that mean? That eternal life is available and abundant life is available. That means we're not waiting on him. He's waiting on us. That means that every good and perfect gift that has come down from the Father is accessible to every believer, meaning this: if you're sick, you can grab a hold of healing today. If you're depressed, you can grab hold of joy today. If you're lost, you can grab hold of salvation and get some vision for your life. It's already been made available to you. I tell our team all the time. I tell my kids all the time. I say this phrase I in my messages a lot of times, DMing and emailing with this phrase. And it's stay focused, stay hungry, and remember, you create the world that you want to live in. On Wednesday night, I talked about it, that you are 100% responsible for your life and how it turns out. Well, Pastor, you don't know where I was born. I don't know where you were born, but I can take you to somewhere, someone that was born in a worse place than you were born, that for some reason made it. And so if they made it, you can make it too. Somebody say no more excuses. So when you understand that you can create the world that you want to live in, or you can create a culture. Now listen, I've been married 17 years. I've been a father for 16 years. I've been saved since I was 17 years of age, 21 years old. I've been coming to a Spirit-filled church all of my life, 38 years old. This is the one thing that I have gotten really good at, and it is creating a culture where I am that I want to live in. This is Bishop's advice and my advice to young pastors. What kind of church should I build? You should build the church that God wants you to build, where he wants you to build, and all of that stuff. But I love what Bishop says. You need to build a church that you want to go to. Because you got to show up whether anyone else shows up or not. So you got to build a church that you enjoy, that you get something out of. Now understand this, that I believe, I don't want to get ahead of myself, I believe that I can create something around me. And I love that I can create culture around me, because wherever I am, the culture goes. So if I've created a culture of peace, peace follows me. It's all around me. And so when I go in unpeaceful situations, I still have peace. Why? A peace that passes all understanding. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what's going on around me, but I'm still peaceful. I've got the joy. The joy factor is an amazing thing. His joy is my strength. And that's why I can be in situations where I should not have joy, but I count it all joy, even when I go through diverse temptations. Why? Because I've created a climate and a culture around me that I don't leave when I leave on Sunday, but I take with me to my truck, I take with me to the restaurant, I take with me to my house, I take it with me to the doctor. If I got to go see a lawyer, it goes in there too. Wherever I am, I've created a culture. One of the greatest things, and I'm going to put this question out there on social media this week, just see what kind of answers we get. One of the greatest things that's come out of the pandemic for our family is we're having more family time than we've ever had before. And most of that family time is not, we're not at Dave and Buster's, we're not bowling, we're not going to the movies, we're sitting in our living room talking about life. We're talking about racism. We're talking about building businesses, entrepreneurship, all of those things. We're talking about ministry and how to get to where God wants us to be. We're talking about vision for the church, my vision, Mandy's vision, my kids' vision, Bishop and Pastor Becky's vision. We're talking about all of these things. It's amazing to me what is happening in our home. But I'm going to tell you, I love going home because my home is quiet. Because it's the culture that I've created. Tyler, don't bring none of your loud friends home. Jaden, don't bring none of your drama-filled friends into this house. This is a drama-free zone. You see that gate at the road? That's where the drama stops. You see the front door? That's where the negative stops. That's where faith is. Come on, that's where joy is. That's where Jesus is. That's where the Holy... I have a quiet house. Usually the only time you hear something in my house is when the Dallas Cowboys and Spurs are losing. So it's been loud, but not lately, because nobody's playing. But something happened last night that changed the culture of our house. I went to bed at 2 a.m. And at 4 a.m., Mandy sits up in the bed like she has been struck by lightning, which she never does. Boom, sits up, and she's moving, and she's talking in her sleep, I thought, and I just tried to act like I was still sleeping. I've been watching Snapped. Where's the gun, Mandy? And then, you know, I did the husbandly thing, and I just kind of put my hand over near her. Babe, you okay? Then she threw herself, boom, on, and she's writhing. I thought, oh, my God, we're about to have the first casting out of a devil at Brandon's house. And when I turn on the light, she was in agony and pain. And she said, there's something in my ear. There's something in my ear, country living at its best. There's something in my ear. This is what was in her ear. And I said, what do you want me to do? She said, I don't know. Get it out. Come on, I got sausage fingers. There's no way I'm getting two of these bad boys in that ear canal. She said, go get some Q-tips. I run to the bathroom. I'm looking for the Q-tip. I don't know where she keeps the Q-tips. I got to come in there defeated. She's writhing in pain. She's in agony. Hey, babe, where are the Q-tips? They're in the laundry room. Man, I run to the, I could have beat Q. I would have won the Olympics this morning at 4 a.m. I'm thinking, Lord, don't let me step on a scorpion. We don't need two people writhing in pain. And so I bring the, and so all I'm doing is I'm just saying the name of Jesus. Jesus, help her. Jesus. And I mean, it really was. It really was like, I said, Jesus, right now, get that thing out of her. I was practicing. Lord, in the name of Jesus, whatever's in there, let it come out. Boom, it popped out. Wriggled away. We couldn't even kill it. So I think it's planning the sequel tonight. I don't know. But as God is my witness, calm house at 4 a.m. went from calm to, ah, get it out. Tyler never woke up. Jane said, I thought y'all were laughing at something. I didn't know. And so she just went to bed, and there we are. And let me tell you something. Something messed up culture when it got where it was not supposed to be. Something messed up culture when it got inside of a place it wasn't supposed to be. And I've been married to that beautiful woman for 17 years. I've seen her bring two kids into this world by C-section. I've seen her have multiple surgeries. I have never seen her act like she acted this morning at 4 a.m. Why? Because a foreign substance got in where it was not supposed to be and started changing her behavior. Can I tell you, culture is important because culture gives me a buffering and a force field that does not allow the enemy to do what it was designed to do. And so every time I come on a Sunday morning, every time Bishop preaches, every time I hear a podcast, every time I study, what am I doing? I'm building me a culture where I'm at so that when I need Jesus, he's not far away. He's right there. So I'm not wondering where all the help is. I know exactly where my help is, and the devil can't stay there no longer. Building a culture, making sure the things that are not supposed to be there are not there. In Matthew 5, Jesus begins to teach what is called the Sermon on the Mount, which contains the 9 Beatitudes. Each Beatitude starts with the word blessed or blessed, which means that there is a special blessing on everything that God is getting ready, everything that Jesus is getting ready to share. We're not going to get to the Beatitudes this week. We'll start those next week. But I love this because there's a blessing. Blessed is. So the first thing God wants to let you know is I will bless you if you become the kind of person that I'm looking for. Blessed. And then after that, he tells us what type of person he is looking for. So he says, I'm going to bless you when you line up your life with this type of person. Then he tells you the blessing. Can God get any more plain? He says there's 9 things in your life that are going to create a culture that you can live in, that you're going to create a life that is worth living, that is going to, I was sharing with somebody today because that the spirit of suicide has been running rampant during the pandemic and everything that's going on. And two people have committed suicide that are friends of friends and people that we're connected to. And I told somebody the other day, I've never been to the point where that seemed like a logical choice and option, but people are to that point. But can I tell you, if you will build a culture around you, and if you will define that this culture is a place where I'm not going to let the devil speak to me, I'm not going to let the devil have a hold in my life, I'm building something around me that I want to live in that's worth living. Starts with a blessing, tells us the type of person, and then tells us that blessing. For the last 10 months, one of the things that God has placed in my spirit over and over and over is the word culture. Culture is definitely a word that is overused by church, especially startup churches and church plan. It's all about culture and culture and culture. And what I've noticed is that there's a lot of words, not only in the church, but in media and that people use that we grow numb to, but especially in the church. We think worship is slow songs. And praise is fast songs. The speed of the song is not what makes it worship or praise. The direction of your faith is what makes it. The direction of your heart is what makes it. What you're talking to God about. When I talk to God about what he's done, that's praise. When I talk to God about who he is, that's worship. And so we make these words, we use them so much we make them numb. And we use the word anointed a lot, and a lot of times what we call anointed is not anointed. And what we say, oh, the Spirit of God is on them. No, they just had a really good week. Everything just worked for them that week. It doesn't mean that the Spirit of God was on them. We say, oh, we had church today. Just think about this. I've used that phrase before. I've used it on social media. Oh, we had church at Living Way. And this week I was thinking, what does that even mean? We had an hour and a half of a couple songs. Somebody got up and gave a lecture, made a couple points. We laughed. We came to the altar. We lifted our hands. Is that having church? We say, oh, man, God really moved today. Did he, or did they just play your favorite two songs that you've been listening to all week? Culture is not something that we want to overuse. We want to understand that God has given us the word of God, the promises of God, faith. God has given us his presence, his anointing, his spirit, so that we can create an environment and an atmosphere that we want to live in. One of the phrases that we've been using at Catalyst this year is, this is culture. It's actually a phrase that Tyler gave to me back in September, October. And we put it on some of our Catalyst merch, and the moment I saw it, I couldn't get away from it. I think about it every day, that this is culture. When a miracle happens, this is culture. When great worship is happening, God, this is culture. This is what we're building. This is what we're striving for. We want people to know when they come to Living Way, whether it's a Sunday or Wednesday, a night of worship, whether you're dropping your kids off at Catalyst Youth or whether you're dropping your child off at Catalyst Kids, when they drive through the Living Way food bank tomorrow morning, we want them knowing this is culture. This is who they are and how they are. This is not a deviation of who they are. This is them 100% of the time. It's who they are and what they do. A lot of our leaders in the dream team here at Living Way, we've been using phrases to describe where we're headed, and all of those phrases come back to one thing: culture, atmosphere, what we want people feeling in the parking lot, what we want people feeling the moment the first chord of the first song starts, what we want people feeling as they leave this place. It all comes down to culture. So what is culture? Culture is this. It's the behavior. It's the belief, characteristics of a particular group. Here in 2020, we would hear phrases like, it's the youth culture, cancel culture, call-out culture. What they're saying is there's a new wave of believing and behaving. And if the world is talking about a drug culture, cancel culture, youth culture, call-out culture, I think that we as believers can create a healing culture. I believe that we can create a faith culture. When I watch, man, I've been watching, I don't know what got in to Brother Copeland to have a tent meeting in July, but he's been having a tent meeting in July in Texas. That takes a lot of faith. And that tent's packed out, and they're having a move of God, and he's wearing his best suit and looks so good. And I've been watching him and Dr. Bill Winston, and I've been watching all of them preach and teach. And, man, they have a faith culture in that place, whether it's on the parking lot, under a tent, in a building, whether it's through a broadcast, whether you're in person or online, there is a faith culture. I feel faith when I watch them. We can make a healing culture, a faith culture. We can make a worship culture. I want to give props to this worship team. You guys have created, you always have in 45 years, but here in the last couple months, you have created a culture of worship. You literally created a culture of worship so much that sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I didn't have to preach today. I wish we could just worship all day long. That's why we started Nights of Worship. It had nothing to do with you. I just wanted a night where I could worship and not preach. Worship culture. Not just happening here at home. Prayer culture. Creating a culture where you're talking to God all the time. Man, people probably think I'm crazy because I'm talking all the time, but it's not to me, it's to God. God, I need you today. Man, God, you blessed me today. Wow, that one was out of right field. I didn't know that was happening today. And talking to God. God, I need you today. God, I'm not feeling it today. And God, all the craziness of this world is kind of messing with my mind right now. And God's saying, oh, don't worry. I've already overcome the world. You're with me now. Don't worry. Why? A prayer culture. I've created a culture where talking to God is not defined by a building or a time or a special service, but I've created a prayer culture. A giving culture, not just a living way, but becoming a more giving person and so much more. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, we read it at the beginning, King James, and then I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. One translation I love says it like this, which is not too much to ask for. You said, man, he's asking me for his life. He's not asking you for anything that he hasn't done already. He gave you his physical life. He just wants to direct your steps, order your steps, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I love the way the Message Bible reads. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Verse 2 gets even better. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. My word for today as we wrap this up in the next few moments is this. Don't become well adjusted to the culture around you. You define your culture. You create your world. You say, but pastor, I work with a lot of godless people. Listen, I'm not telling you that you got to work with a bunch of Christians because I believe that the greatest mission field you have is your job and your family. And a lot of times we ask God to deliver us from, and a lot of times God has not delivered us from what he's called us to. Some of us are saying, God, get me another job so I can get away from all these knuckleheads. God's saying, I gave you that job because I want you to reach those knuckleheads with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to deliver you from what I called you to. Don't become well adjusted to that culture. To that culture around you is always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, but God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. God first works in you, and then he works around you. Too much of our prayers are centered and centric on other people and other things, when most of my prayer should be about me. What's going on between my ears? What's going on between my shoulder blades? What's going on in my spirit? I want to make sure that everything that God wants me to have is working in me before I start pointing out the things around me that I want him to change. Because I believe this, church, if God really changed you, you can change the situation. If God really transforms me, I can change the situation. The Bible says in Luke 9, verse 1, that God called his disciples together and gave them power and authority to cast out devils, to heal the sick, and all of those great things that we're called to do. God doesn't have to do those things for us. He gave us the keys. He gave us the authority. And so God changed me. And if you change me, I'll change them. I'll change that. I will bring the culture from living way. I'll bring the culture from my living room. And I'll make it at my job. I'll make it at my school. I'll take it wherever you want me to be. First, God works in you, and then he works around you. Before I can begin to affect what is around me, I have to begin to change what is in me. Creating culture begins with you. When you realize that you have transformed, you can incite change everywhere you are and everywhere you go. I don't want to pick on him here today, but Tyler has turned from like Vans and like rock and roll looking dude to GQ all in like 60 days. He works out every day. And the only time I've touched a dumbbell in the last 2 years is to move him from the middle of the floor in the bathroom. I said, Tyler, what are you doing with weights in the bathroom? He said, I got to look at myself in the mirror. And I said, why? He said, I got to make sure my form's right. And I said, yeah, right. He's dropped 25 pounds, cut his hair, grown a couple inches. He looks totally different. But you know what he changed? His appetite. Changed his workout. Changed, no longer drinking the Big Reds and Dr. Peppers and Bang energy drinks and all that. He is so concerned with everything that's going in. But I'm going to tell you what's happened to him. It's given him a confidence outward because he changed the inside. He says, now I can make an effect outside. Can I encourage you for the next week before we see each other again next Sunday? Work on the inside. Jesus died so that you could have life and life in abundance. He died so that you could have that eternal life, but that abundant life is what we're working on now, and we've got to make sure we're right on the inside. The first step in creating the life you want is to get rid of everything you don't want. The first step in creating the life you want is to get rid of everything you don't want. How do you do that? First thing, first and foremost, if you've never said yes to Jesus Christ, you need to accept him into your life and repent of all your sins. That is one way to get rid of everything, because the Bible says this, that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The greatest way and quickest way for you to get to new and better and greater, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, is to stand in this altar or to say the prayer wherever you're watching from today and say, God, I've made mistakes, I've failed, I've sinned, but I believe you, Jesus, are the Son of God. You're the only way to get to heaven, and I receive you into my life as my Savior, and I will spend the rest of my life making you my Lord. Boom! Old things are gone. New things have showed up. Thought I'd get a better amen right there than that. I promise you I did. So what about me? I'm saved already. How do I get rid of? Paul said, every day I take that cross and I follow him. Daily I crucify my flesh. Every time you crucify your flesh, newness shows up. Old things are put under the blood and you no longer have to deal with them. Can I encourage, when was the last time you said, Jesus, I need you to be number one in my life again? It's been 22 years. It's been 22 months since I had that kind of conversation. But every day of my life, I'm talking to God. The last thing I did before I closed my eyes last night, before our adventure started, was I said, God, I hope everything I did today pleased you and was holy and acceptable before you. But if for some reason there was a thought, an action, a deed, Lord, I pray and ask for your forgiveness. Help me to overcome those things. You say you pray that every night? I pray that every night since I was 17 years old. And let me tell you something. When you pray that prayer, old things can't stay. New things always show up. New things always show up. Then you move to lordship, spirit-fed, spirit-led. God created culture in Genesis 1. He created an atmosphere, an environment called the Garden of Eden. It was paradise. His culture was nothing but good. It was so good that after everything he created, God didn't have anybody to say it was good. So God just looked around at his creation and said, that's good. Gabriel, that's good. You see what I created down there? That's called a tree. That's good. You see that water, that blue water? That's good. Seven times everything he created was good. Garden of Eden, paradise, perfection. It was a place of no pain, no tears, no wars, no arguments, no violence. The place was perfect, but everybody there was not. Because there was three people in the garden. There was Adam, there was Eve, and there was Satan. Realize this in 2020. God can put you in the right place, but you have to manage who you allow in that space. God can put you in the right place, but you manage who you allow in that space. What am I talking about? You have to figure out whether they fit the culture you're creating. I don't like negative people. I get away from them as quick as I can. I hang up the phone with them as quick as I can. Why? Because honestly, Brandon is a negative person. And so the last thing a negative person needs to be around is a negative person. It's just like if you are overcoming alcohol, the last thing you want to be hanging out with is somebody who goes to the bars and the clubs all the time. If you've got a problem with the opposite sex, the last thing you want to do is go clubbing with somebody who's a womanizer or always looking for the next best man. Can I encourage you? You are in charge of who you allow into your culture. You are in charge of who you allow into your atmosphere and environment. And the people you allow into your atmosphere and environment are either going to make it better or they are going to tear it down. Adam and Eve were in paradise and they thought, just because I'm in the right place, everybody here is the right people. Not so. He blesses you with the place. You manage the space. You don't have to be ugly about it. You don't have to be a jerk about it. You can just block them. If they can't take no for an answer, you just got to tell them, hey, you do you, boo, and I'm working on me. Me and Jesus right now is what I need, and you keep walking. If they don't understand that, you don't need them in your life. Genesis chapter 3, the devil destroyed culture. God created it. The devil destroyed it. The devil came into perfection with a counterculture. There's the phrase. The devil's plan was to bring hurt, offense, pain, bitterness, racism, hate, sickness, addiction, depression, hopelessness. That was his counterculture. What is counterculture? It's a subculture whose values and norms of behavior differ substantially from those of mainstream society, often in opposition to mainstream cultural moves. I'm so thankful that God has made a way for us to get back to Eden. That way is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. So how do we combat Satan's counterculture? We become the counterculture to his counterculture. We recognize behavior that we don't like, and we say, I'm going to be the opposite of that. I'm not going to scream and holler about that behavior. I'm going to be the opposite of that behavior. You see, I can scream and holler about hate all the time, and if I'm not careful, I'll start hating on haters. So instead of screaming and shouting about hate, I'll just turn up the volume on my love. Oh, you missed it. When there's confusion, instead of me condemning confusion, and why are you all of that, instead of confusion, I'm just going to counter it with peace. Where there's depression, I'm going to be that joy. Where there's lack, I'm going to be abundance. Where there's fear, I'm going to be faith. Where there's sickness, I'm going to counter it with healing. Where there's a void of direction, I'm going to counter it with vision. We are the counterculture to the counterculture. Meaning this, devil, my God is bigger than you, and the culture I create is one birthed in faith and not fear. And since my God is stronger than you, I'm using that power to create this culture. Which means this, that you don't have anything that's stronger than what I have. Your voice doesn't hold more authority and dominion than my voice does. And when you realize that God has raised you up with all power and authority, Luke 9:1, and you've got all that, you need to start acting like it. Stand on your feet. As a church, we are always talking about in our leadership meetings the last 2 years, culture. What's the atmosphere like? What are people thinking when they come in? I've actually had friends that have never been here before that I've called and said, hey, I need you to come to church. And I said, I'm not inviting you to church. I need you to come be my secret scout, my secret shopper. I need you to come through the back door. Then I call them, text them. How are you treated? Somebody meets you at the door. Somebody greets you. Somebody say hello. Somebody hug you. Somebody show you to a seat. What'd you think of the praise team? What'd you think of the preaching? And I get an honest assessment. Why? Because I want to make sure that we're creating the right culture here. People's lives are hanging in the balance when they come into this place. They got a loaded gun in their glove box, and if you don't do what you're supposed to do, we might not ever see them again. If I don't say what I'm supposed to say. So if we say that about church, say that 2 or 3 hours a week, what about our lives? 168 hours a week. The cashier that you chewed out at Valero, she's suicidal. The guy down at the factory that you work with, that you keep running your mouth about, he's on the verge of divorce. His kids aren't going to have a dad anymore because you guys instead create that culture, bring healing with you, bring faith with you, bring calm with you, bring love with you. I love what Andrew Willis says. I love you and you can't make me hate you. We should live that. I'm going to bring it with whatever I got. Spit in my face, I'm going to turn the other cheek. That's tough. I'm preaching that. That's tough. what we must do in this day and age. I want to open this altar right now for those of you that you can honestly say, Pastor, where I'm living at right now, not a physical location.